Sometimes a gift is more than just a gift. Imagine what Elton John's life would have been like if his mother never bought him that piano. Sometimes a gift is more than a gift. A child is told that they are valuable, that they are loved, and it changes the course or the direction of their life. Sometimes a gift is more than just a gift. We're going to read a story where Elizabeth, who has been barren all of her life, hears good news that she's going to have a child. And not only is she going to have a child, but this child is going to prepare the way of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijam. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the customs of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Spirit even before he is born. He will bring many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can this I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." Then the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When the time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." If you have seen the movie, The Miracle on 34th Street, at least in this original scene with Natalie Wood, who plays young Susan Walker, she doubts the existence of Santa Claus. Reaffirming faith in our world today is hard. We live in a cynical world, not for trying to believe in Santa Claus or Saint Nick or Sinterklaas or whoever it is. But in the reality of God, and many in our world today don't believe in the existence of God, or at least that, that God answers and that God hears our prayers? That lack of faith has left so many of us skeptical. And I wonder if that's led to the understanding of why people are living with such hopelessness, such despair, such emptiness, some unromantic notions of what life is really called to be. People are lonely in our world. And our passage sets the stage for that glorious revelation that is going to take place when the Messiah of the world comes into the world. Sometimes a gift is more than a gift. Just ask Zechariah. Interestingly, as I was reading this week, did you know that Luke is the only author that clearly displays the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth as it ties into the history of Israel and all that that entails? Here you have it. You have a priest and his wife. They are blameless. They are upright. They are holy. They are God-fearing. They kept the law blamelessly, we are told. And yet here they are wrestling with this decision as to whether God was active, whether God would respond and God would answer his prayer. And it's there that we need to pause, because you can read over the story and get right away to the birth of John the Baptist and miss the heaviness of the moment and what this really pastorally would have meant to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Because we pray, right? If you take the average age of when she may have gotten married, it may have been about 16. So for 52 years, she's praying. We want a baby. And they doubt. And maybe like Zechariah and Elizabeth, we laugh. We doubt. Because we know the reality of being in that moment where our prayers just aren't being answered. We have a family issue that just doesn't seem to go away. Family Christmas dinners are tumultuous at best. In fact, we'd rather not even get together. Because we've been praying for our family to be reconciled, but it's not. We're dealing with that health issue that nobody in the family wants to talk about or admit it. And we're just not getting healed. Will we be accepted? And we wrestle with our identity. And here is this angel. It's going to come to Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's going to bring the best news that they've ever heard. You're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. He will give you joy and gladness, because he is great in the Lord. He will stand in the tradition of the Nazarites. He will have the Holy Spirit on him even before birth. And he will come in the power of Elijah and turn people back and prepare them for God's coming. Wow. Rest in that revelation for a moment. Because Zechariah is rather incredulous. In verse 18, he says this: "How can this be? Because I am an old man and my wife is well beyond childbearing years." You don't have to be a biblical scholar to realize he's pointing you back to Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah laughs. They have heard the story of unbelief for so long that the reality of this coming true is hard to believe. Because if you understand the scriptures, barrenness is a heavy thing in the context of our passage. Children were a sign of a blessing. And not having them was a weight or a burden. So imagine Elizabeth being reminded of that over and over again. She hears this, the story of Sarah and Rachel and Rebecca and Hannah and Samson's mother, and just simply wants to have the weight and the agony taken away. But here's what's interesting. Over and over in Scripture, in the weight and the heaviness of the story of our lives is often where you will find the Spirit of God, is often where you will see God at work, where you will hear God speaking, where you will hear God carrying and sustaining and uplifting and providing comfort and grace and mercy in the time of need. God seems to show up in those moments of hopelessness, if we'll but hear him. Zechariah is all too well aware that he can't, like we, change many of the circumstances of the story of our lives. And so he's resting in this promise that God is going to provide, and there's nothing that he can do about it. The heaviness and the exhaustion and the fatigue speaks to our world, which is hungering, which is thirsty, which is longing for the answer to life. And the answer gets a little bit clearer in our passage. Because not only is it the reality of the world, it's the reality of the story of our lives. And here's the news that our passage says. The news of John the Baptist reveals to us that the Spirit of God is hovering over places that are dead and dying and speaks a new word. He, in his very word to them, removes the image of shame and grace and replaces it with wonder. He fills emptiness with hope, a promise when there is none, and he brings new life. Don't we need to hear that this morning? That message of hope and of encouragement and of peace. But how often, in that moment where God is trying to speak, do we not hear him? I mean, we're praying and all of a sudden, ding, oh, hold on, God. Ding, oh, let me check that email. Oh, I got to go to a meeting. And that time with God gets silenced or pushed away. We got Christmas parties to go to. We got family to go see. And yet we pray and we pray, but do we ever sit in that moment of silence and allow God to speak? To rest in what he might be trying to say to us over and over again? Because here's what's happening. I never realized this, and hopefully you didn't know all this before. But here we are. We are at the time when the priests are going to get ready to decide who is going to go in and make the offering. There were 18,000 priests, more than you could ever need, broken up into 24 groups, 2 week stints at a time, serving in the temple. And one time in your life, you are lucky if you get to be the one that goes and offers the incense in the morning and the evening. Your name was drawn by lot. Only once in your life would you ever get this opportunity. You would go in and you would make the offerings. Everyone would be outside praying. And the angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah, where? In the temple. It's the only time that I can find in the temple that an angel appears and gives a message. Usually a message was given to the cherubim or to the Ummah and Thummim. But right here to Zechariah in the temple, an angel appears. And then catch this. Not only does the angel appear, but where does the angel appear? On the right side of Zechariah. The angel had to have come out of the Holy of Holies. It had to have come out of the presence of God, the place where only God and the priest once a year would be able to come out of. And so the angel appearing out of the Holy of Holies, coming out of there as the messenger of God, becomes that very visible message to Zechariah that God is with him. And he is filled with fear, the passage says. All that they had been praying for, all that they had been longing for, was coming to reality. Hear the text. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Then the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. Zechariah doubts. Have you ever been waiting for God to speak? Has God ever drawn you into that moment of silence? I don't know what it's like for you, but over the last couple of weeks, I have had this, an angst or whatever it is, where I would go to bed and I haven't been able to sleep. And I try to sleep, I go sleep on the couch, it doesn't work, I go back to bed and it didn't work. But then the next day, I said, maybe God is trying to teach me something. So I would go downstairs and I would pray and I would read and I'd fall asleep. And then the next night, the same thing and the same thing. And then finally, a number of good nights of sleep. And then I'd come back down again and I was awoken by the very same thing. But here's where it comes. Over those few weeks of not being able to sleep, God was speaking. That finally I came to the point where I said, I know that you have this in control. I know that you have never let me down. I know that you have a plan in this story for me. Let me rest until you reveal what that is. And since that time, I've been able to sleep. But I wonder if sometimes we can't rest in the presence of God because we wonder if God will do what he says in his word. If we try to act more like God because maybe we'll get the answer we want. I wonder if there are moments where we underestimate God. If we ever wonder if God is paying attention. I wonder if that's why we have a hard time praying and resting. Because the revelation is coming. Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Now, if you want to experience something very pastorally in this, catch this. In the culture where she's at, what she's dealing with is very significant to her identity and to who she is. Now, let's assume She started to become a young woman at the age of 16. Take that away from the age we believe that she is at the time of the birth. That leaves you 52 years. So 52 years times 12 months a year is 864 times over her life. She was reminded it would slap her in the face that she didn't have a child. That no baby was coming. And so I can't blame them for being in that moment of doubt. Because we've been there. And Zechariah, who is now in the temple, doesn't believe either. And because he's not able to believe, he is going to be silenced. I wonder what that forced contemplation did for him. Because here's the priest. He is supposed to be giving to the people, and all he can do over these months, which will be Elizabeth's pregnancy, is to receive the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love of God. I wonder if we are silent before God, if that silence can fill our hearts with grace, if that silence can begin to remove our doubt and move us to a place of trust, to disconnect, to be still before God. Because I think what we'll understand is what Zechariah and Elizabeth is that God's grace is bigger than our fear. How many times have we doubted the promises of God? How many times have we fallen short of the standard of God's blessing? How many times have we chosen our way over God's way? How many times have we carried a burden that God simply wants us to lay on Him so that we can be free? Immeasurable. But here's what we learn. God loves us. God has not forgotten. God has not abandoned. And in quiet desperation, the futility of our lives wants us to rest in our own ability, in our own power. I love what I came across in a reading this week, is that when it comes to the story of God, He came so that we who were lost in sin might be lifted up into the service of God. He came so that we who served another master might serve God our Creator. He came so that we who fear facing God might be reconciled. He came so that we who felt the disconnection of our lives from all purposes might live abundantly. He came so that we who could not please God might please Him forever. He came so that we who were ungodly might have our lives aligned with Him. And now, Zechariah and Elizabeth have a baby. And they call him John. What's interesting to note is that as they call him John, they are saying, "Lord, not your will, but our will, but yours be done." Because common tendency was to name the child after someone in your family. But God said he was to be called John. And when Zechariah begins to speak those words, his mouth opens for the very first time. And here's what's interesting to note. By calling him John, God was calling and claiming John to be his very own. It's the very same thing that God does to us in the sacrament of baptism, where that God calls us his own, that we belong to him, that he died for us, that he is with us, and that he walks with us. In calling him John, it means that the Lord is merciful. God is merciful not only in the blessing bestowed upon Zechariah and Elizabeth, but he is merciful in the fact that he came into the world to meet our greatest need. Maybe this morning, you find yourself in that place of Zechariah and Elizabeth. You've been praying and you've been praying, and yet there's doubt. You wonder if God is answering. And yet all the way along, in the stillness of the moment, God has been there. He has been sustaining. He has been comforting. He has been upholding. And he's been longing to speak to you. And he's inviting us into the moment of silence to receive his grace. There are moments this morning where maybe we've been going to church all of our life, but we've never really encountered that life-changing move and the working of the Spirit of God. He's inviting us to be still this morning, to be silent, to receive his grace. In moments like Zechariah and Elizabeth, I think what we need is people that have been there. People who understand the story of hurt and anguish and loneliness. And to realize that around you, God has provided an army of people who have been through the trenches just like you, who could tell you the story of God's grace at various different seasons, to give encouragement, to give hope, to give life, and to give victory. And here's the amazing thing. God loves you, people of God. And sometimes a gift is more than a gift. And in the story of Jesus, God reminds us that he is faithful. And whatever it is in our story this morning, he invites you to come to the manger and to receive grace and hope and victory. Because God is the one who continues to change lives. And immediately, when John was born, his mouth was open and his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God. My hope and my prayer is that as you meet the gift of Jesus this Christmas, in the midst of wherever we are in our story, we would be able to sing, because God is faithful and God loves you. Let's pray. We are in a season, oh God, of waiting again for you to come. But we are in a season that is also called dark Christmas. Because it's in moments like this that we're told how we should feel, told what we should be thinking, expected to be smiling all the time. But Lord, we look at a world that is hungering and lonely and searching for not only identity but meaning. We realize how hard it can be. But Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you are the one who still answers prayers. And Lord, I know this morning that there are some of us who are waiting for answers that we may not get till we get to heaven. But Lord, there are others of us that need an answer, oh God, that need some kind of touch, some kind of word, some kind of comfort. Maybe it's a person to walk alongside of us. That you would bring that person into our story, that you would bring that word that we need to hear, that we would simply be reminded that you have not forgotten, because you haven't. But Lord, we pray that you would bring that word of encouragement to our story. And we thank you for your church that seeks to be a place of hope and healing and inspiration to a world so in need of you. May we rest in that comfort. May we rest this week in the moments of silence where you try to get our attention. And that we would be comforted. Thank you for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen.